Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Donald Trump looked like he was going to die last night reading that damn speech. It was awful. It was terrifyingly bad. It was incredibly stupid. That's what makes it so dangerous. And that is the elephant in the room. So, if you saw the speech streaming somewhere, because it wasn't streaming on most of the networks.
In a rare move, NBC and ABC Fake News have both said that they would not cover this speech. They knew what it was about because of the fact that they don't like the topic, because they know how corrupt our system is, and they don't want to reveal it. They and others in the media are part of a plot. They want to continue this fraud for whatever reason. They want to keep it going. They want to protect the radical left. They can't have a great country, and that's true. You can't have a great country without free and fair elections. Fraud like this should mean a revocation of their licenses.
Probably the same thought I and millions of other Americans did. What the hell was that?
They did not want, and they just didn't want it. They fought like hell not to have it, Donald Trump, to win.
Because that was cuckoo. That was so obviously a gumbo of weird, conspiratorial, hot garbage.
Bags that were used to destroy information given by President Barack Hussein Obama to be burned. It was supposed to be burned. These bags were supposed to be at a different level by different people, incinerated and checked, but it never happened. Maybe we got lucky. We believe this was not done on purpose, but rather through gross incompetence of the people that was supposed to burn the bags.
That no serious person could have come up with it. And the reason is that serious people did not come up with it. The people that came up with it were people like John Solomon and Catherine Engelbrecht, Cleta Mitchell, and just these nutcases, you know, the all the weirdos in that election denier space, right? But like I wrote yesterday, Trump didn't write this speech. It was created as a predicate. It was created to give smarter people than Trump, people underneath Trump, the Stephen Millers, the Russell Vaughts, the Chris Lacevitas, all the campaign operative types, a big fat excuse to go and interfere in the 2026 election. None of this stuff that they revealed has a shred of credibility. You're going to watch fact checks and debunks on this longer than I'm going to give you today that are much smarter and much more on the button, that even the most superficial analysis of these claims, it makes them laughable. I mean, this is joke stuff. This is insanity.
Today, I'm asking the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA to investigate how and why such crucial information was hidden, to fire those involved in the cover-up, and to file criminal charges, if appropriate, against these people.
But they don't need it to be real. It's something I really think you need to sip carefully and examine for a second. They don't need it to be real. They need it to be a big enough excuse so that they can interfere with the 2026 election. They need it to be a big enough excuse so that they can rev up the rationale behind saying, oh, well, we're told secretly, we can't tell you how we know, but we've got to deploy federal troops, ICE agents perhaps, or maybe DHS, to Oakland County, Michigan, to Fulton County, Georgia, to Orange County, Florida, as a predicate, as an excuse, as a lie, to go to judges with bullshit requests for court orders and to go and begin to do FBI investigations into state and local election officials. This is great. That's why this is dangerous. He's cuckoo.
And they wanted to just make you sound like your president wasn't so hot, when actually your president has done a great job.
It was incoherent.
Secure elections should be a partisan, really. We should be together Democrats, Republicans, independents, everybody, then it should not be a partisan issue. It should cause to unite us, not to divide us. This should be a cause. We should be united, not divided.
It was all a lie.
China and other countries have been trying to meddle in our elections. Evidence of fraud has been buried. Hundreds of thousands of non-citizens and dead people are listed and active on the voter rolls. And yet we still have elections with no voter ID, no proof of citizenship, and tens of millions of ballots floating aimlessly through the mail.
But it doesn't matter, because more dangerous people, more serious people than Donald Trump are underneath this operation. And the people underneath this operation recognize something. They look out into the horizon, and they don't see a blue wave. They see a blue, earth-shattering, gigantic, 5,000-foot-tall wall of destruction coming at the Republican Party. That ability of them to understand what's coming is what's motivating all of their terror over trying to pass the SAVE Act.
Congress must pass the SAVE America Act. How easy is that to do unless you want to cheat? The only reason you wouldn't do it is you want to cheat because your policies are so bad and your candidates are so pathetic that you can't get away or can't get elected any other way.
You know, at some point you decide to take more control of your health and your life. Understanding where my health is at has become really important to me. Maybe I should have started sooner, but I was too busy going a million miles an hour for too many decades. But I'll tell you what's intriguing to me about Superpower. They give you actionable intelligence about your health that's very hard to get, even from your own doctor. Superpower gives you a dashboard into your life, and Superpower makes accessing this dashboard easy. They can send a licensed professional to your home, or you can visit a nearby lab. And what it lets you do is go after the things that you need to change in your life. They can give you recommendations for supplements, even prescriptions. You'll understand your biological age. That also can integrate your past medical history. You can upload your old labs. You can talk about your family history for things like cancer or heart disease to make sure that you're monitoring the key markers and things in that regard, and give you protocol recommendations, not only about supplements and prescriptions, but about exercise, about other approaches to your healthcare that you can proactively use to improve your life. And it all comes from the data. In the age where we have to take control of our data about ourselves, we also have to take control of our lives using that data. And Superpower helps you do that by giving you access to over 100 of these things called biomarkers. Not just cholesterol, but iron, cortisol, testosterone. It's way above my head on the biology side, but Superpower helps you understand the whole thing. By the way, they're also HSA eligible, so you probably can use pre-tax dollars towards finally getting a real understanding of the health data you've been missing. Take control of your health with Superpower. For a limited time, our listeners get $20 off to unlock their new health intelligence. Head over to superpower.com and use code Lincoln for $20 off your $199 Superpower membership. And after you sign up, they'll ask how you heard about Superpower. Tell them the Lincoln Project sent you to support the show.
The SAVE Act is not going to pass. It does not have the votes in the House. It does not have the votes in the Senate. It does not have the votes in the Senate to pass cloture by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, it's not happening. It's done. No matter how much they scream about it, no matter how much Trump beats the table with his shoe about it, the SAVE Act is a dead act. Mike Lee, sorry. Call your office. Go home and have a soft cry. So they're going to do things that are more ridiculous because they can't pass the SAVE Act. They're going to push harder. Now, look, I want to make sure I'm clear for folks. While this is a dangerous set of predicates that they're establishing, and they have all the ill intent in the world, I also want to be very clear that what they've done by centering, well, all of June was centered on the brilliant, perfect, absolutely great Iran war. That was perfect. It worked out great.
We are likewise winning big in Iran, and you will see the fruits of that labor very, very shortly.
But by centering July on this insanity of the SAVE Act and this insanity of tonight's whatever it was, they're breaking the biggest rule in elections. Never waste a day. And they're wasting a day every day. Every minute he talks about this, is a minute he can't get back. It's a minute he's not talking about affordability or health care or the price of gas or the price of groceries or the price of anything. And even Republican voters, by the way, Republican voters who are self-identified MAGA Republican voters, you know what their number one issue is? Inflation and prices.
If you could say something to President Trump and he was going to hear you right now, what would it be?
You are a worthless pile of
And you voted for him how many times?
3 times. That was my bad. Apparently, I'm an idiot.
It's not an overnight thing, but it's been 2 years now. You said you'd bring down the grocery prices. Literally, I must be the most angry person when I grocery shop because I buy the same things every week. And I see it jump every week. It is not every couple months. It's literally every week.
Did you ever think when you voted for President Trump that things were going to cost you more and you're going to lose money?
I never thought I was going to lose this much money, this fast.
You know where election denial horseshit falls? It ain't even on the charts. It's not even in the ballpark of the neighborhood of a political issue that motivates anybody in this country. As we watch this thing roll through tonight, all I could think of was, man, this affordability speech is really going to help the Republicans. If you were a Republican member of Congress tonight, you are in absolute misery. You are hating your life. You were like, God damn it, this shit again. You know why? Because the one thing you had to cling on to, the one tiny little shred of an affordability message, the housing bill, your umber overlord went out and said, it's nothing, burger. It's nothing. I don't care about it.
But will you sign that housing bill?
I have not. It hasn't been sent to me yet. It's coming, I understand. And then I'll make Here's what I would like to sign. Much more than a bill, that big deal. It's a yawn. Some people say it's wonderful. To me, compared to the Save America Act, just about everything is a big yawn.
He let it become law without his signature. You don't get the credit that way, guys. So I know if you're a Republican and you watch that speech tonight, you were thinking to yourself, God damn it. Now I have to call him and say, Mr. President, that was the greatest speech I've ever heard in my life. You were so tall. You were so handsome. You were so smart. You were so perfect, Mr. President. Oh, all I want to do is help you. And he'll say, pass the SAVE Act. And you'll say, but I don't have the votes. Oops. None of this is working for the Republicans. They are stuck with an unpopular war they have to defend every day. They are now stuck saying that the most important issue in America, the number one issue, is imaginary Chinese hacking from 2020 that somehow reflected off a cloud of swamp gas and that was Venus, and somehow it was changed the election. Donald Trump does not understand that even his own people don't want him to relitigate the 2020 election. He knows he lost. They know he lost. We know he lost. The only people that won't say it are those dipshits like Jay Clayton, who John Ossoff just spanked this week on the in the Senate.
Who won the 2020 election?
I'm not going to do this with you.
This is a job interview. We've established that you have an obligation to be honest and forthright with the committee. Yes, you do have an obligation to be honest and forthright with the committee.
Yes.
Who won the 2020 election?
Like I said, I'm not going to get into that with you.
But you do have an obligation to be honest and forthright with the committee.
Is anything that I just said not honest or forthright?
Yes, you're not being honest or forthright. Who won the 2020 election? I think I've answered the question.
We can keep doing this.
Well, we're going to keep doing it because you're not being honest and forthright with the committee.
I'm not going to engage in the theater.
It's a simple question, Mr. Clayton.
And I've answered
it. Who won the 2020 presidential election?
I've answered it.
You're here asking for the support of senators to lead America's intelligence community. We've established that you have an obligation to be honest and forthright with this committee and with the American public, but you refuse to answer a simple matter of fact about the 2020 election. Is that right?
No, that's not right.
Then answer the question. Who won the 2020 election?
I have answered the question.
Answer it. What is your answer?
I've given you my answer.
What is your answer? You refuse to answer a basic question about who won a presidential election
No,
but you asked to lead America's intelligence community? Isn't it humiliating to be unable to answer this question, to have to indulge the president's delusions? We know, you know, everybody in this room knows the truthful answer to that question. Why can you not give it?
I think I gave you the answer.
Because they can't say it without making Daddy Trump angry. They have a lot of intention to do bad things in this election. This speech tonight, again, the content of the speech was ludicrous, false, insane, all that. They don't care about the consistency or the logic of the speech. They don't care about the facts not being real facts. They care about having an excuse. As the president said in his speech, we now have to take your voter rolls by force to state whatever. So like I said, it's the elephant in the room, and it was crazy, but it was a dangerous kind of crazy. And the dangerousness of that speech tonight, I think needs to really be weighed against their ability. They have more ability than he has sanity. That's what concerns me a lot. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, as a longtime observer of Donald Trump, and I've watched Donald Trump for too many years. Way too many years. I've been an anthropologist of Trump for over a decade, and I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I want to take up birding or some other freaking hobby and memorize 1,000 feather patterns rather than think about the ticks that I know in his speeches. But the reason I can tell you he's not well, and he did not read that speech, and I don't even think he, in a lot of ways, can internalize large complex speeches anymore. He was clinging to that podium for dear life. He was eye fucking that prompter, and you could see the reading back and forth. He had not read that speech, had not internalized it. His mouth was dry. He was huffing when he was going through the speech. The entire thing is like this guy is like running on empty. That was if you were a person who actually cared about Donald Trump, you'd say, hey, let's get you a couple of days off. Let's get you to the doctor. But no one does, by the way. That physicality of Trump, the decline is so marked that people almost lose track of it. They almost fill in the old Trump in their heads, the guy from 2015 and 16, the sort of swagger, big, burly physical presence on the stages and loomed behind Hillary and Jeb. That guy's gone. He's a very physically diminished man. He's a very, very physically diminished man. Donald Trump gave one of the most insane and terrible presidential speeches ever. I've seen some stinkers, not just from Republicans, not just from Democrats. I mean, I've seen some stinkers. This is in a class of its own, and nothing about it will survive contact with reality except in the Foxverse. But I want you to remember, he didn't need the speech to be real or true. Or even good. He needs it as an excuse to play games with 2026. And that is the first part of this week's Elephant in the Room. I think we all watched the Blanche hearings in large measure with a sort of sick sense of premonition that the Republicans would play their usual game and try to make the hearing about anything but Todd Blanche. And they did. They really worked hard to turn the hearing into Jack Smith and government interference with congressional phone record. I mean, just all the trash.
I want to start with Jack Smith and the latest revelations of his illegalities, which seem to have no end. I mean, listen, I've had my text messages by him scooped up red. Who knows what he did with them? I've had my cell phone monitored. He tracked my incoming calls, my outgoing calls. He tracked my metadata. He tracked my location. I mean, Lord knows what else. Have you thought about investigating this guy for perjury?
We take testimony in front of this body very seriously. Yes.
Good.
Democrats probably should have seen that coming a little further out, but whatever. We'll leave that go. Blanche gave the performance you would expect him to give, but there were a lot of tells in that performance, including the I'm Trump's lawyer tell.
Are you and President Trump friends?
I'm his lawyer, was his lawyer, and now I'm the deputy attorney general. So I met him as his criminal defense attorney. I'm not sure there's very many people who have ever had a criminal defense attorney who calls that person their friend.
Which, I'm going to talk about a Freudian slip of a classic order. Woo! When he did that, I think some of the chemistry changed in the room. The discomfort from Republican senators with Blanche, you will be shocked to find, is not about Epstein. It is about the January 6th terrorist payoff fund, the $1.8 billion payoff fund. And it is with Donald Trump's get out of jail free settlement, saying he could never be audited, investigated, or even looked at funny. Republican senators are very unhappy about those two things. They are very unhappy about the degree to which Blanche engineered them. Even some that are going to vote for him in the end have expressed around the rumor mill how uncomfortable they are with Todd Blanche. Blanche did not do himself a lot of good in that room. Now, some of them do care about the Epstein material. And Blanche gave you every lie in the book about it.
Remember, for 4 years, there wasn't a peep about Jeffrey Epstein. The Biden administration did nothing to be transparent about the Epstein case. We have been extraordinarily transparent in not only producing the records, but letting unredacted versions be available to anybody in this body. And if, after reviewing unredacted materials, a member had concerns about why something was redacted, they brought them to the department's attention, and we addressed that.
This man is mendacious in a way that I have rarely seen among a potential or actual cabinet official. The lies he told about the Epstein materials in those hearings should be disqualifying all by themselves.
When it comes to the victims of this horrible man, we will never, never not talk to victims. We will never not do everything we can to prosecute anybody that committed any crimes against any of these women.
The lie he told about Ghislaine Maxwell should be disqualifying all by itself.
You had an opportunity to go down and talk to Ghislaine Maxwell. And then a few days later, she was transferred from a high security prison to a very comfortable.
I mean, that's
very
true.
Comfortable.
It's just not true. She was not in a high security prison. She was transferred from a low security prison to a low security prison. I mean, you're looking at me like that's verifiable.
Well, I don't think at the other prison she had her own room. She had access to a private shower. She could have pet therapy. And
I don't know if any of that is true. I'm not disagreeing with you.
It is true, and you should know it, Mr.
Trinity. I should know that?
You should know.
Whether an inmate has access to her own shower?
No. This is a person of extra special interest to the President of the United States. He's known her. Why did he send you down to talk to her?
He didn't send me. I went. What do you mean? You think President Trump called and asked me to go interview a witness in federal prison? Honestly?
Yes, I do, frankly. Well, because you know why?
He didn't.
Because the deal was in. He needed somebody he could rely upon to talk to her and say, what would she say if she was asked about Jeffrey Epstein? And you were the perfect choice. And you went down there, and suddenly, shazam. She's out of what is a more confining situation into a much more relaxed federal prison.
Every word that I asked her is recorded and available to you to review. If there's criticisms of the question that I asked her, go ahead and make them. But the president did not have anything to do with my choice to go interview Ms. Maxwell. If I wouldn't have went and a career would have went, you would have said, why didn't you go yourself? Just like you expect me to know whether she has access to her own shower.
I did go. Everyone in the United States who reads the newspapers know that. I guess you don't, read things like that. You know, this whole hearing, I think, is exposing something, which is, to me, very frightening. You're a very gifted lawyer. But from my perspective, you have very little faith to the Constitution and the people of America, and you're the president's consigliere.
Your perspective is completely wrong, Senator, respectfully.
I think the facts will prove me right.
the lies of commission and omission, the arrogance of the man to believe that no one is going to watch this and say, no, that's not true. Because you know what? We know that Todd Blanche is lying when he says, the victims are bad. We're protecting them. No, you're not.
His actions have destroyed survivors' trust. According to public reporting, Mr. Blanche spent approximately 9 hours meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell. He did not even spend 9 minutes meeting with a survivor. Afterward, Maxwell was transferred to what many have described as a summer camp prison. We learned all of this through the news. Imagine what that feels like as a survivor to sit there if you were exploited by Ghislaine Maxwell and you're hearing this for the first time with no explanation, no outreach, and no transparency. And to add insult to injury, the information that Todd Blanche gathered in the White House Situation Room last summer to curb the political fallout from the Epstein files was absolutely abhorrent. Instead of following investigative leads, our government treated and continued to treat this as a political crisis that needs to be managed. In our nation, everyone deserves equal protection under the law. Todd Blanche has been unwilling to protect Epstein survivors' personal information. And he has been resistant to investigate the people who helped Epstein and Maxwell commit those crimes. We need an attorney general committed to ensuring that everyone who facilitated Epstein's crimes is held accountable. Please, I implore you, please.
He harmed them further. And when Tom Tillis on Thursday said, I'm not going to vote for the guy unless he meets with the Epstein victims.
And Mr. Blanche, I have a positive predisposition too, just so that everybody knows. I have not made a final decision. But Mr. Blanche said very quickly yesterday that he would meet with the victims, the Epstein victims, today if it could be arranged. Well, right now, the markup, if you all don't know procedure here, after this hearing is done today, next week we'll hold it over. The earliest possible markup would be 2 weeks from now. And because it seemed to me that Mr. Blanche was willing to say that he would meet with them and counsel, I understand the restriction that counsel has to be present. I expect that meeting to occur before I'm willing to vote out of this committee. And I'm trying to get to yes. But this is a very important part of getting to yes. There should not be any reason why, based on what Mr. Blanche said yesterday, if he said that he would do it today, then he can certainly do it over the next 2 weeks.
That, to me, was the most interesting news of the entire Blanche matter this week. If they had the votes on the committee and the votes on the floor, Todd Blanche would never have met with the Epstein victims. Ever. Ever. That would set off a news cycle. That would set Trump into insanity orbit. He would never have done it if they had the votes. They don't have the votes. Lindsey's sister will still cast a vote on the floor for him, but she's not able to glue the votes together like Lindsey did on the Judiciary Committee. Tillis, Cornyn are both publicly like, no, bro, this ain't great. Because Tillis threatened not to vote for him, Blanche went and met with the victims. The women who are victims of Jeffrey Epstein have been treated abominably by America's justice system. Absolutely abominably. And their stories that they have painfully reconciled over the years and trying to work through it, trying to tell their stories, trying to see to it that other young women are not groomed and abused like that. These are all grown women now. They're in their 40s now. Many of them, 30s, 40s, 50s even. And they carry this burden. I've talked to a lot of them. I've interviewed a lot of them. And man, they hurt. Man, they're carrying that damn weight. Some of them have suffered inexpressible tragedies because of their abuse at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And so when that meeting happened, I wished I was driving when it was happening, and I was thinking about it a lot. I was like, I wish I could be in that room with them. I wish I could just tell them, this fucking guy. And that's the report that came out of that he was arrogant, condescending, liar, gaslighter.
Look, it had absolutely nothing to do with us, and it had everything to do with Blanche checking a box so that he can get a promotion. I don't think that we had high expectations going into this meeting. I certainly did not. But I didn't expect to walk out of the meeting feeling the way that we feel right now. It was... demoralizing, to say the very least. And I think that Todd Blanche had an opportunity today to throw us some kind of bone, to agree to something, to just, if he offered almost anything, I think that we would have been happy that he just offered us something. But he completely talked around questions. He didn't give transparent answers. He didn't give us any promises as far as following up on investigative leads. He had no real answers for the Ghislaine Maxwell transfer and no real explanation for the improper redactions. What he did say was that he would be open to meeting us again. However, he would be open after we go to the FBI. Survivors have been going to the FBI for 30 years.
Right.
For 30 years, we've been going to the FBI. And why should we have any confidence in the FBI or the DOJ right now? Again, it felt like more political posturing and using survivors the way that we've been used as political pawns. We're victims of crime. At the end of the day, we're victims of the crime of sex trafficking. And the fact that our Department of Justice will not take that seriously is beyond concerning, not just to us, but should be concerning to Americans all across this country.
What did you expect of Todd Blanche on the one hand? But the reason Blanche took that meeting is because they don't have the votes and he needs to be in that job. Donald Trump knows that Todd Blanche is the guy who's been running the Epstein cover-up. Pam Bondi's got Todd Blanche's knives all the way up her back. She could crawl up it like a ladder. She's gone because of him. He's the one who cut the deal with Maxwell. He's the one stopping the investigation of Zorro Ranch. He's the one who's pulled the plug on transparency over and over again. He's the one who lied to Congress. He lied to the Senate repeatedly. Oh, no, we've never held any document back ever. No, not once. No, sir, it's so patently fucking obvious that Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie have had to file the Epstein File Transparency Act Part 2. It is astounding to me the arrogance of that man to go and lie before the committee. I want to give props to Sheldon Whitehouse on the committee, who really, really took the stick to Todd Blanche, and rightly so.
How long do you intend to put up with that Kash Patel character? Are you good with his airplane jaunts? Are you confident he's not drinking on the job? Are you sure none of his travel is a pretext for vacation activities like snorkeling, Olympics, and visiting girlfriends? Are you sure he knows what he's doing? Do you vouch for him? Are you willing to look at whether he lied to this committee?
That's an extraordinarily obnoxious question, Senator. And I have full faith in Director Patel and the work that he's doing every day.
Great. You get to own that.
And one question that Blanche clearly decided he was going to be a stand-up guy for Kash Patel. Kash Patel is a knee-walking drunk. He's abusing government planes and the government security details to go see his girlfriend, to go travel over to the Olympics, and go scuba diving on the Pearl Harbor, Arizona Memorial, which I don't get. I find that like more than vaguely sacrilegious. Defending Patel. These guys are covering this thing up, and they know they're thieves in bed together. Patel has been absolutely at the forefront of this with Blanche. These men deserve lightning to strike them before they went in the room with those victims. Patel did not, only Blanche did. But they deserve lightning to strike them. They are men who have been dedicated to an evil outcome in the Epstein matter from the very beginning. And you know, people don't like to use the word evil. They're like, oh, come on, man, it's too religiously afraid. No. I believe in evil in this world. And I believe that men like Todd Blanche, who wears a decent suit and has a patter and knows how to be a trial lawyer, is in fact evil. Because no one would go in a room with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and try to bullshit them and lie to them about the pain and the suffering they have experienced at the hands of a fucking monster. And no one would take the job from Donald Trump of running the biggest cover-up of the biggest child sex trafficking ring in American history. And no one who wasn't evil wouldn't go and sit down with Ghislaine Maxwell and yuck it up and then transfer her to Club Fed, the cushiest women's prison in America, where she gets yoga classes and internet access and tennis and a fucking puppy. I want to be clear about Blanche. He will probably get through on an ugly last-minute partisan vote, and Susan Collins will be the one who cast the deciding vote. And in a lot of ways, Susan Collins is exactly why we have top Blanche. Because Susan Collins taught the Trump team they can nominate the worst people. They can nominate people who are pure evil. They can nominate people who are contemptuous and arrogant and lying and who've told Congress to their face, fuck you. And Susan Collins taught them they could get what they wanted. And so Todd Blanche, I believe, is an evil person who has no business being the Attorney General of the United States of America. None whatsoever. In fact, it is a travesty that they would even begin to consider naming Todd Blanche as the Attorney General of the United States of America, unless it was for one purpose, and that's to cover up the Epstein files. And so, yeah, Susan Collins is the problem. Susan Collins is the one who told them, yeah, you know what, I'll pretend, then I'll clutch my pearls, and then I'll vote for your guy anyway. It is one of the biggest elephants in the room. When Trump decided he would break America, he had to start with breaking every institution in Washington. He's worked his way through them. He's broken the Department of Justice. There are still good people there. There are still people fighting back over there. But the men who run it, the man he wants to run it, Todd Blanche, is evil. Don't say another word about it. That's the word of it. That is the word to describe it. Use the word that means what it means. He's evil. He should never be Attorney General. And that, my friends, is part two of this week's Elephant in the Room. Hey, folks, thanks so much for watching. We really appreciate you. Go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button for us. It helps the algorithm do the algorithm's thing and gets our message out to more people. We really appreciate all of our viewers and look forward to seeing you again on the next Elephant in the Room. Thanks, everybody.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.